This is a podcast for the Virtual Vascular Project. Virtual Vascular is a comprehensive online resource for vascular specialists and all those who care for people with vascular diseases. Virtual Vascular is sponsored by the European Society for Vascular Surgery and was developed by three editors, Martin Björk, Sebastian Debus, and Jonathan Earnshaw. Virtual Vascular is available online from 2020 and will build into a complete online textbook over 3 years with regular updates to ensure it remains current. I am Sebastian Debus, Professor for Vascular Surgery at the University Heart and Vascular Center of Hamburg-Eppendorf, Germany, and head of the Department for Vascular Medicine. This institution was founded 10 years ago, and its specific characteristic is the combination of vascular surgery and angiology, aiming to a emergence of both specialties. Together with my team, I had the unique opportunity to found this department and create a training for vascular specialists, including vascular diagnosis and imaging, medical therapy of vascular diseases, comorbidities, and vascular risk factors, as well as the full range of endovascular interventions and open surgery. We are working close to cardiology and heart surgery, which created multiple opportunities for common research, clinical work, and education as well, since we share wards, patients, and treatment modalities. Together with my co-author, Reinhard Grundmann, vascular surgeon as well, I present this chapter on acute carotid syndrome. Acute carotid syndrome is an umbrella term covering three different pathogenic processes: acute carotid artery occlusion, acute carotid artery dissection, and acute blunt carotid artery injury. All of these may result in acute symptomatic cerebral ischemia of varying degree, and all of these conditions are very rare. Management of acute and symptomatic carotid artery occlusion will need mechanical endovascular thrombectomy with or without bridging thrombolysis within a short time window of 6 hours. Tandem occlusions complicate treatment modalities, and this chapter reveals latest evidence on preferred management strategies in those conditions. The second part covers spontaneous acute extracranial cervical artery dissections, including the internal carotid artery and the vertebral artery. They are difficult to diagnose since 20 to 30% of patients present with non-specific symptoms, such as headache or cervical pain. The prognosis, however, is generally good, with most dissections healing within 6 months. After adequate diagnosis, antithrombotic therapy is recommended in most publications. There is uncertainty about the comparable effectiveness of antiplatelet medication versus anticoagulation with heparin or warfarin. Both treatments are therefore reasonable. In patients with internal carotid artery dissection and stroke, it has not been established whether endovascular therapy is superior to intravenous thrombolysis. For tandem occlusions, however, intracranial thrombectomy is recommended, possibly with additional carotid stenting. False aneurysms after internal carotid artery dissection have a good prognosis and do not require intervention in most cases. The third part of the chapter deals with blunt carotid artery injury. Given the rarity of blunt cerebrovascular injury, there should be a high index of suspicion in the emergency department. the Denver screening criteria, pointing to specific injury mechanisms and physical signs, should be used for identification. Treatment with antiplatelet medication or anticoagulants is the standard therapy for blunt carotid injury. Only a minority of patients need surgical or endovascular treatment. However, the latter is performed in the majority of patients. Patients with pseudoaneurysm formation and or luminal stenosis of more than 50% are a high-risk group for future stroke, for which endovascular intervention may be beneficial. Enjoy reading this chapter now. We are convinced that it will enhance your knowledge on these rare but important conditions.